This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Israeli forces began strikes in eastern Lebanon today, targeting Hezbollah, issuing urgent evacuation orders for an entire city of Baalbek, including a UNESCO heritage site. ABC's Britt Clinett has more.
The fighting is intensifying in southern Lebanon with no clear end in sight. The IDF's offensive there. Hezbollah's new leader, Naim Qassem, we heard from him earlier. He said that he would stick to the war strategy laid out by his predecessor, Nasrallah. He's been Hezbollah's deputy chief for more than 30 years. He's one of the group's most recognized faces.
There are 6 days to go before Election Day, and legal challenges are already emerging. The Trump campaign has filed a lawsuit, it says, in Pennsylvania County, accusing Bucks County election officials of turning away voters. The county denies those allegations. And the death toll in eastern Spain has jumped. At least 95 people have died following historic flash floods. This is eight.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulotz. State Superintendent Dr. Jill Underley has proposed $59.5 million in new investments aimed at recruiting and retaining Wisconsin educators. The announcement is part of Dr. Underley's 2025-27 biennial budget. Under Underley's education workforce proposal, stipends would be provided to eligible student teachers to help cover expenses and reduce debt. A new state-funded Grow Your Own grant program would help grow the workforce. A support program for new educators would expand and barriers to licensure would be carefully examined and reformed as necessary. Data from the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction's 2022 Education Preparation Program and Workforce Analysis Report, released earlier this year, found that about 4 out of every 10 first-year educators either leave the state or the profession altogether within their first 6 years teaching. Can cow manure help solve climate change? Brittany Merlo reports.
Experts at a recent congressional briefing say yes. Anaerobic digesters, known as dairy digesters, can capture methane, a greenhouse gas, from waste pits at dairy farms. A few farms in Wisconsin already use them. They convert the biogas to natural gas, which then can be used to generate clean power. Congressman Jim Costa, who represents part of the San Joaquin Valley, says it's a win-win.
You can set up a methane digest operator that can really be very efficient, very effective, and produce a lot of electricity and handle the waste at the same time. So these sustainable farming practices have reduced operational costs to farmers.
However, some environmental groups argue that this doesn't address so-called enteric methane, a natural byproduct of cows digesting their food, which is responsible for more than 70% of agricultural methane emissions. Advocates suggest a better solution would be for people to cut their consumption of dairy and meat.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
A Brewers coach signs an extension. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports. Baseball, the Brewers have renewed the contract of pitching coach Chris Hook. The 56-year-old Hook, who has worked his way up in the organization for 20 years, signed a multi-year extension with the team yesterday. He's credited with developing the team's young pitching talent. The Yankees won Game 4 of the World Series last night in New York, 11-4 over the Dodgers. Game 5 is tonight, Los Angeles leading 3-1. NBA, the Bucks are in Memphis. They face the Grizzlies tomorrow night on Halloween. The NFL trade deadline is coming up next Tuesday. Yesterday, the Packers signed linebacker Jamin Davis to their practice squad. Davis had been a first-round pick for Washington 3 years ago and was asked how familiar he is with the Packers.
Ironically, I got a chance to watch him a little bit last year, and it's crazy now that I might actually get an opportunity to play for him. But currently, I'm just honestly soaking everything all in, and hopefully I can get to work and just watch as much film as possible.
That's Packers linebacker Jamin Davis with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Showers and storms roll in today, and some could be strong, producing vicious winds and torrential downpours, where 1 to 2 inches of rain is not out of the question. High temperatures today hover in the mid-70s and fall to the mid-50s tonight. With a rainy start tomorrow, we do dry out by the afternoon. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 76.
Matt Nair on air.
Darren Von Rudin, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Wisconsin Congressman Derek Van Orden wasn't really concerned about hearing from the farmers after he got done being unhappy with you about an ad you made months ago.
Our members didn't get to tell their stories. And in the end, if you don't agree with each other, at least the conversation can happen. That really didn't happen.
One would think being in Congress would require a slightly thicker skin.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local civic media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
Either Donald Trump or Kamala Harris is going to win this race. Don't be the person saying, I agree with Kamala Harris on 80%, but I was really ticked off about X, and I wanted to send her a message, so I didn't vote, or I voted for someone else. And then you get Trump, and people are going to say, you can't have a national abortion ban. They have to listen to us. We're the people. It'll be too late. Your vote is powerful. Do not waste it.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Dom Selvia.
Next time, Matt Rothschild joins me in studio. Wisconsin State Rep Francesca Hong on the status of the Wisconsin election. Plus, Greg Palast joins us talking about the mega dirty tricks. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6. News from the Center, WRCE. Time for a deep dive into the one issue that matters most in a capitalist democracy. Money. This is Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money, a joint production of the Maggie Dawn Show and the Patriotic Millionaires.
Welcome back to Maggie and the Millionaires Talk Money. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. It is the 3 o'clock block, and that means it is time to talk money. My next guest, her name is Maureen Kennedy. She is a philanthropist focused on tax policy and K-12 education. She is the former Assistant Secretary for Policy at the Department of Housing and Urban Development from the Clinton administration. Welcome, Maureen. I'm so glad you could make time for us. You yourself are a patriotic millionaire, and you've talked a lot with your friends about the PMs. You've talked a lot with your friends about tax policy, about education policy. Why did you join the PMs, and why do your other friends in a similar financial situation feel about being part of the PMs?
You know, I don't have a lot of other friends who are in this similar situation, I must say. But I first came across the Patriotic Millionaires on Facebook. I had a friend in the neighborhood who I didn't know anything in particular about their financial situation, and he talked a little bit about what was going on with Patriotic Millionaires. Maybe it was April 15th when we do a lot of stuff. And I just thought, you know, I love taxes and I love policy. This is an organization I should be checking out and getting a better handle on. And it's just, they're super smart people, and our interests and perspectives on tax policy are just really aligned.
Yeah, I think, you know, I often say, and I've said during this segment frequently, if you care about child care policy, you care about tax policy. If you care about working families, you care about tax policy. If you want to see stronger border security, you care about tax policy. So let's jump in. Let's talk first about the minimum wage. Trump has refused to support raising the federal minimum wage. It is a poverty level. It is $7.25 an hour. That is the federal minimum wage that applies in the state of Wisconsin. We haven't raised it here. Why is this important? Why is raising the minimum wage good for business and good for middle-class Americans?
Well, it's good for middle-class Americans. Let's talk about that for just a minute. As you say, it hasn't been raised since 2009, when, you know, I'm 66. I'm going to tell you guys a lot of very transparent stuff about me. I'm 66. Back in the day, I worked at McDonald's when I was 17. Truly, it was never on my resume. And I made $2.95 an hour. And I was in high school at the time. I didn't have two or three kids to support. These days, a lot of folks who work at McDonald's who are getting the minimum wage do have two or three kids, and they are very likely to be women. The people who are most affected by not increasing the minimum wage are going to be moms and moms with children. And it is outrageous to me that that we're in a society where we feel like it's okay to make those least able to bear the brunt of our bad policy bear it. So that's my view on that.
Yeah, it's incredible to me that we have to have a discussion about the minimum wage. It hasn't been raised since 2009. I don't know why we don't index the minimum wage to inflation, to the consumer price index. In other words, so that it has a normal, reasonable cost of living adjustment. Republicans have stood in the way of that sort of reform, both here in the state of Wisconsin and in federal government. When we just sort of zoom out at a 10,000-foot level, from your perspective, you are well-to-do, you have a retirement that you can rely upon. Do you think that government is doing what it should be for working people in this country?
It can be doing, it can be working for working people in a couple of different ways. Things like defending unions and people's ability to advocate for their own interests, right? And we are not as strong on that as we should be. I think it can be doing things like making sure that the earned income tax credit, which I assume you guys talk about from time to time, is working well and is at the right number and so on and so forth. It can also do things like invent the internet or really contribute to AI. So there are lots of ways that the government kind of gets involved with these things. My perspective is that the things that matter the most to working people are the least likely to have been supported through time. There's a guy, I don't know if you listened to the Pivot podcast with Kara Swisher and Scott Galloway. Scott is a maniac on the issue of the minimum wage. His view is that if he wanted to improve outcomes, but also welfare policy in this country, there's no better way to do it than to increase the minimum wage. Because basically at that point, you've got everybody has to comply. You can't get around it. But more importantly, you're in a situation where people are getting paid a wage that is responsible and respects the work that they do and so on and so forth. You're not saying to them, oh, go work at Walmart and then go on welfare to kind of cover your gaps or go down to the food pantry to pick up extra food every week. You know, that is not a living wage. That's not the way this thing is supposed to work.
Well, it's incredibly two-faced, if I can put it in this way, for conservatives to beat on the battle drum of bootstraps, right, and the value of hard work when they refuse to pay people a living wage for hard work. I mean, a fundamental starting point of discussion that I've often shared with various friends of mine is, listen, we agree that hard work is the backbone of the middle class. It drives our economy. We rely on middle class and working people in this country. If we agree that if someone's willing to work 40 or 50 hard hours, decent, respectable hours of work, they should be able to live on that. There should be a dignity wage. We can actually figure out how much that costs in various areas of this country. And with some variation, it's de minimis. It basically requires a $20 an hour minimum wage. Yep. That is what it requires. And we are so far from that. So it is not, in my opinion, and I'd love to hear yours, it's not a reasonable position to say we're a bootstrap place and we believe in meritocracy, but we will only guarantee an hourly wage at $7 and a quarter.
Right. And I think this is a real generational shift. Again, not to obsess about baby boomers and so on, but back in the day, you made an income. Let me make sure I can. You made an income. It increased over time. Your housing costs were relatively modest. Your health insurance costs were relatively modest. Your expenses for getting a college education were relatively modest. In California, you could get by with paying, you know, $2,000 a year maximum if you're an in-state student. Now, your income is, as you guys probably talk about all the time, basically flat since 1979. But housing costs have gone through the roof. Healthcare costs have gone through the roof. Education costs have gone through the roof. Healthcare costs have gone through the roof. Why do we think that somehow working class people are not working hard enough if they can't solve that equation, right? It's just crazy to think that you can somehow, especially somehow solve that problem without turning to the government and saying, hey, you guys need to kick in money for my childcare. You need to kick in money to subsidize my earned income. And this is, of course, assuming that you're actually working, because there are plenty of people who can't work for a variety of reasons, either because of health issues, disability issues, they've got very small children, all kinds of situations.
And to me, when you talk about minimum wage and fair wages, it also requires a discussion of tax policy, because to me, one of the most overwhelming level ups that we could do for the middle class and working people in this country is not only that $20 an hour minimum wage, but to say if you're only making $41,000 as a household or less, we're not going to place a federal income tax on that because you are barely scraping by. We can shift that tax burden to the people that have more than enough to live and get by and thrive and buy the second and third homes and boats and lots of cars and things. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about tax policy. How biased is the tax code, Maureen?
Well, a couple different things, but let me make one really quick point on this. We have, as you know, in 2025, this once in more or less a decade moment to kind of get the tax system in better shape.
Yes.
The current tax arrangement that we've got dates from 2017. They basically locked it in for 8 years all the way to 2025. And so if we don't get this done in the next year, we're kind of locked in for another 10 years. The tax, and as we all know, in 2017, what the Trump administration did was it torqued the tax arrangement so that it benefited higher income people. I used to be one of those high income people, okay? I have a lot of assets right now, but I'm retired, so I don't have the income that I used to have. But until I quit working, coincidentally, about 3 months before COVID hit, I was paying 50% as my marginal tax rate. And that was completely fair because I was making a lot of money. And, you know, the federal tax rate at the time was 39%. And we all paid it, right? This is not new. We all of us who were making that income all paid 39%. It's not like somehow everybody deserves to be paying 37%. We were all paying 39%. And then I was paying 10% basically for California state tax, 2.8% on top of that for a millionaire's tax. So 50%. And now my tax rate has gone down quite a bit because of the Trump tax adjustments and a bunch of other stuff that has happened in the meanwhile, some COVID benefits and so on.
So if I can just jump in here, because we're going to have to take care of a couple of messages here. What I hear you saying, Maureen, is before you were paying a much higher effective overall tax rate, not just on a marginal basis for, you know, income dollars earned over X and Y and Z. And now because of the Trump tax cuts, you pay much less. You believe your position is you should be paying more. Other people in your position, other millionaires that belong to the Patriotic Millionaires that have been guests on this show, believe they should be paying more because it works to support the middle class. We're going to talk about why we tax work differently than wealth, right? Wealth, a dollar earned from wealth gets taxed at a much lower rate than a dollar earned from work. We'll talk about that, the difference between capital gains and income taxes, when we come back on today's episode of Maggie and the Millionaires Talk Money with our special guest, Maureen Kennedy, a philanthropist and former assistant secretary for HUD in the Clinton administration. We'll be right back here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
It's quiz time. Here's your first question. Which senator joined the extreme left in Washington, D.C. to send COVID relief checks to prisoners, including the Boston Marathon bomber? Answer, Tammy Baldwin. Who backed puberty blockers and sex change surgeries for minor children in Wisconsin? Once again, Tammy Baldwin. Next question. Which senator even supported castration and mastectomies for minors? Time's up. It does sound crazy, but that was Tammy Baldwin again. over and over, Baldwin has sided with the extreme left in D.C. Baldwin is for they, them, not you. And now for our final answer. It's time to replace Tammy Baldwin. Senate Leadership Fund paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. www.senateleadershipfund.org.
Wisconsin has many state symbols, but did you know there's an official ballad?
Oh, Wisconsin, land of my dreams.
Oh, Wisconsin, land of my dreams, composed by Sherry Sarazin.
I don't think it was an hour, and I had the music matched up.
With long-ago help from her grandmother.
She wrote a poem in the late 1920s about where she lived in Wisconsin.
And it's now the state ballad. So are these also official Wisconsin symbols? The Kringle, Wood Violet, American Water Spaniel? The answer coming up. The official process can take years and includes advocating the legislature to make it law. Now, along with the official ballad, are the Kringle, Wood Violet, and American Water Spaniel also state symbols? Yes, each is a celebration of the state and a slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money, a joint production of Civic Media and the Patriotic Millionaires. For more information, go to patrioticmillionaires.org and be sure to tell your friends. The Patriotic Millionaires buy advertising across a number of Civic Media stations.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're in the 3 o'clock hour, so it means we're talking money. Today, our special guest is Maureen Kennedy. She is a patriotic millionaire. She was also assistant secretary for policy at HUD during the Clinton administration. Welcome back, Maureen. I want to talk about the differences between income tax and capital gains tax. Can you explain it? And then can you explain or express your opinion? Is it fair that a dollar earned from wealth is taxed at a much lower rate than a dollar earned from work? Because it's one of the mysteries of the universe that I can't quite square.
I will get to that in 1 second. Let me just follow up on something you said earlier. People like me believe that we can pay higher taxes and that we should. I think there's a bunch of other people who think that they can or know that they can do it, but they think, I don't have to, I don't want to, I just won't do it. So I think that's a big distinction here. So capital gains versus, so people, you know, there's the whole arrangement that everything's divided between labor and capital, right? Labor and machines, labor and stuff other than a working person using their body to get stuff done. As a result of that, we've always had an arrangement where you're taxed for your labor and there's a different arrangement for the way that you're taxed for everything else. Tax rate on labor right now goes up as high as 37%. Tax on everything else is only 20%. So I'm in this fabulous situation where I'm no longer working. That means I'm not paying 37% for that marginal chunk of the money that I'm making any given day. I could be making the exact same amount of money on an annual basis, but make it off of my stocks and bonds, which is basically exactly what I'm doing. That's the capital part or the business part of my financial picture. I could be making $500,000 in cash from my job or $500,000 from the money that I have in my Schwab account. And right now I'm paying 40% of what I was paying when I was working. So my tax bill is 40%, 60% lower than it was just because I happen to be getting that income from my stocks and bonds. So you can imagine that for people like Musk and Bezos and all those guys, they're, in many cases, they actually are working for $0 or $1 a year. They're getting lots of stock options and other kinds of benefits like that. And that's why they're only paying a maximum of 20%. And then they can do a bunch of shenanigans to get the number down even lower.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible to me that certainly it sounded innocuous back when stock options became a huge part of executive compensation. Like, oh, that seems reasonable, but it created basically a very short-term reward horizons for CEO, big incentives to sort of juice numbers to hit sometimes what are artificial metrics. And of course, it allowed the richest workers in the United States, the CEO class, to avoid paying their fair share in income taxes because they just sit on the stock. And if you never sell it, you never actually realize the gain. You don't pay anything. You pass it along and everybody gets away literally tax scot-free, right? I wanted to
add, you're just getting the dividends.
Yes, just the dividends. Thanks much. I wanted to also ask you about somebody who's got a 401k, right? And many, if you're lucky enough as a worker, you've got a 401k. What do you think about, you know, how that fits into the mix? Because I've had people ask me about that. And generally speaking, Marie, my answer has been, listen, those of us with the drippings from the table, yes, it's good when the corporate profits are up and those things are happening, but we are a tiny, tiny, tiny little fraction of those who actually own shares. Can you speak to this issue a little bit?
Absolutely. Somewhere recently, I saw that the average worker in the U.S. has like $25,000 or $30,000 in their retirement account, whatever that might be, their IRA. In my case, it's an IRA or a 401k or a 403b if you work in the nonprofit world. And that is not enough to retire on. Obviously, we used to have pensions. We don't have pensions anymore because, you know, corporate America thought that was tough and inconvenient for them to have these long-term obligations to retirees into the future. So they said, let's just pay out a little bit now in a matching arrangement into the 401k accounts. I think 401ks are great. You still have to pay taxes on it, right? At some point you're going to retire, you're going to start taking money out of that, and you're going to pay taxes on it. So while it's tax-free or tax-deferred now when you're putting money into it, you know, the federal government makes absolutely sure that eventually you're going to have to pay taxes on it. Rich people don't ever have to take money out of their 401ks, right? They can borrow against it, and in some cases even write off the interest that they're paying as they get a loan against their 401ks. And then they pass it on to their heirs. And unfortunately for all of us, when they do that, there's no tax paid, you know, either, because it just becomes part of their estate.
You've got, I mean, to summarize here, one, those of us with 401ks, we're very lucky, but we're a very small sliver of actually who owns stock in this country. Two, we end up paying tax on that because we have to live off our 401ks or our IRAs in retirement. Rich folks, they're not using those tools. They're using tools that allow them to avoid potentially paying any tax at all on it. Closing thoughts, Marie, what do you want an average working person here in the state of Wisconsin that might lean a little conservative, you know, that generally thinks, oh, we don't need to raise the minimum wage, tax policy's fine. Tell them in a minute, Marie, what they should know. Less than that, 30 seconds, friend.
Two quick things. One is, because I have my housing background, depreciation is a really big scam.
Yes. So
basically, it's the federal government saying, we think that your house is going to be losing value in the coming years when your investment property, when in fact, we all invest in it precisely because we know it's increasing in value. And so that just doesn't make sense. We're all not in the position to be making so much money that we don't have to pay taxes.
Thanks so much, folks. That's Maureen Kennedy, a philanthropist and a patriotic millionaire, who joined me today for today's episode of Maggie and the Millionaires Talk Money. Thanks so much, Maureen. We're going to come back with our next guest, Melinda Brennan, executive director at the ACLU of Wisconsin. We're going to talk about reproductive access. We're going to talk about housing. We're going to talk about a whole bunch of different things when we return after these brief messages here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Get out and vote, Wisconsin.
News from the Center, WRCE. Thank you for listening to Maggie and the Millionaires on this Civic Media station. The Patriotic Millionaires are financial supporters through paid advertising on some Civic Media stations.
Whether you've got 3,000 cows or 3 chickens, if you have livestock, the Wisconsin Livestock Identification Consortium is reminding you to update your premise ID. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report along with you on a Wednesday. Julie Sweeney is WLIC's executive director. They are the organization that manages these premise registrations for the state. If there's an animal disease outbreak, it allows Wisconsin to come up with a plan to protect livestock owners.
For many individuals, not much information has changed at all, but in this case that for some people, they changed where they're renting a facility, or they no longer have animals on their property, or a father, mother, individual handed down the property or the ownership to another family member. So we just want to make sure that we get all of the updated information into the database, and that if cell phone numbers change or emails have changed, that we get that all in there so we have a really good up-to-date dynamic system that's easy to use and up-to-date when things happen.
Julie Sweeney is the executive director of the Wisconsin Livestock Identification Consortium. She also reminds us that it is the state law to register your premise ID. You can update your information online at WIID.org. Stick around for a look at your closing markets coming your way.
Spain and Portugal. That's where we're headed next. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke inviting you to join us April 5th through the 17th for our Ranches and Royal Palaces tour. We'll start in Portugal, where we'll visit a stud farm and witness the process of creating cork. Then on to Spain, where we'll visit an Iberian pig farm and an olive grove. Find out more at holidayvacations.com, keyword Pam, for more information and to watch a travel show. Or call 888-557-1020 for a brochure.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
On the close Wednesday from Chicago, grain markets are mixed, with corn closing down 2.25 cents at 4.11 and a half. November soybeans closed up 11 and a quarter cents at 9.76 and a half. And July 2025 new crop wheat closed up 4 and a quarter cents at 6.11 and a half. Currently, the November Class 3 milk contract is up 4 cents at 20.26 a hundredweight, but the December contract is down 27 cents, trading at 19.67 a hundredweight. The cheese markets were mixed. Barrel cheese closed up 3.5 cents at $1.92 and a half, and the 40-pound block cheese closed down a half a penny at $1.89. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Showers and storms roll in today, and some could be strong, producing vicious winds and torrential downpours, where 1 to 2 inches of rain is not out of the question. High temperatures today hover in the mid-70s and fall to the mid-50s tonight. With a rainy start tomorrow, we do dry out by the afternoon. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 76.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Will you dress up for Halloween, and what will you wear?
I'm not going to lie, I'm a lazy Halloweener.
A lazy Halloweener.
I just wore a football jersey and call it a day.
I have a prisoner costume, and it goes on over your other clothes, so I'll probably put that on when I take trick-or-treaters. I was never a huge Halloween guy to begin with. Never a huge Halloweener. A new phrase has been coined here tonight.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, what is the state of the race in Wisconsin? Ben Wickler will be here. J.R. Radcliffe to talk all things sports. We wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
What's up, Wisconsin and beyond? Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We've had quite a busy day, all lumps and bumps. Part of the fun, you can always, or at least usually, find us on the Civic Media app. And on YouTube, of course, the Civic Media YouTube channel. And you can find me at Maggie Dawn Show on the Twit, on the Insta, and the Facebook. My thanks to Charles Franklin, who we started the day with, talking about the new poll. It's basically all tied up here in Wisco, folks. Tammy Baldwin nosing ahead of Eric Hovde. My thanks to David Marsteller, candidate for the 21st Assembly District. And, of course, Sarah Spain from Emily's List for Sounds Like Change. And as well, Maureen Kennedy, one of the Patriotic Millionaires for today's episode of Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money. We got some feedback from my discussion with Sarah Spain today, which I wanted to share with you all as we await our very next guest's arrival. We're hoping to hear yet this afternoon from Melinda Brennan, Executive Director at the ACLU of Wisconsin. After my discussion with Sarah Spain today about respecting families and women's right to choose health care for themselves, a very irate listener called up one of the Civic Media studios and expressed their rage at the fact that Democrats are, according to this listener, flipping our position about government being involved in healthcare decisions and lambasting Democrats for having advocated for COVID shots and for schools requiring COVID vaccinations for kids to go back to school. Here's what. Let's first observe this point. If this is your perspective, well, I get to decide that I don't want a COVID shot, then why the heck are you telling women about whether or not they get to do what they want with their bodies? Why are you telling families what is and is not appropriate health care for their children? Right? Like, that question about your flip-flop, that's hypocritical, goes right back to the conservative. So that's thing one. Thing two is this, and it's pretty basic. Public health outcomes. What creates greater overall wellness for communities, states, and our country? Okay? I'm going to put that out there as one barometer by which these are completely consistent positions. COVID vaccines advocated by the government, not mandated, by the way. Now, you had to have one to do certain things, but hey, you could make a choice. Not the government didn't force you to get a COVID vaccine. The government is forcing women to have babies. Okay? We know of at least 25,000 pregnancies in the state of Wisconsin post-Roe that were the result of rape, women being forced to have babies. So the government didn't force you to get a COVID vaccine. If you chose not to get one, then there were some consequences to those choices. That's usually an acceptable thing for conservatives. But let me return to public health. Here's what we know. Here's what the statistics are bearing out about abortion. Post-Roe, maternal mortality is up. Infant mortality is up. And there are now more abortions in states with bans than there were before. So it's not working from a public health perspective to ban abortion. Guess what makes public health better when it came to COVID? Lots of people getting COVID vaccines. Pretty basic. That's the barometer. It's the best thinking that we've got on public health. And it's, oh, by the way, what the data, what the science is bearing out. More women die, more babies die, and there are more abortions when you put in place these draconian bans. Bad for public health. What is also bad for public health? A bunch of people thinking that COVID vaccines aren't a good idea. That makes it more likely that elderly folks and folks with that are immunocompromised get sick and die from COVID, or at least are hospitalized. Right now, the cohort, the demographic that has the greatest hospitalization and death rate from COVID are elderly folks. They're who is in the hospital. But I can make a third argument for you. When you choose not to get a COVID vaccine, you put me at risk. Right? When you choose not to get a COVID vaccine, that means maybe me or my elderly parents are more likely to die because you're a walking transmitter of COVID because you didn't get a vaccine. So you're putting other people's health at risk. When people talk to me about COVID vaccines, I'm like, do you think we should go back to smoking inside? Do you believe in smoking bans? That's the difference. When I choose to get an abortion before fetal viability, that has nothing to do with anybody but me. So, sir, that called up very angry, stop it, because I don't get it. I do not get it. I see we've got our friend Greg from Waukesha on the line. Greg, what do you have to say this afternoon, sir?
Hello, Maggie. I can't hear you, but hopefully you can hear me. I cannot hear you on the phone at all after you putting in hold, but after the producer putting in hold. But anyway, the point I wanted to make, and I guess I'll listen off air, is that you know, a lot of people say about the abortion thing, oh, but there's always adoption. Well, I'm sorry, adoption is going to flood our adoption system. We know that there's a lot of paperwork, you know, associated with adoption, and it's just not going to be a great idea.
Yeah, it's not a viable option at all, Greg. Thank you so much for the call. I'm going to jump in and just say this. Adoption is extraordinarily expensive. It is also an entirely unregulated system. We don't have federal laws governing how adoption works. We don't. Scary, right? There aren't enough families to adopt all of the babies. And it also presumes, like, well, if you would have gotten an abortion, but a state forces you to have the baby, that you, of course, want to give the baby up. That's ridiculous, right? That's ridiculous. It's just such a limited response to where we are. I wanted to play a little sound because over the last couple of days, just some incredibly insensitive things have been said. And I thought it was really interesting. The former GOP candidate for president, Nikki Haley, had some pretty emphatic things to say about the tone that Donald Trump and a lot of these speakers at Madison Square Garden have taken with respect to how they speak to women, how they speak about women, and how they speak about people of color. Let's take a listen. This is Nikki Haley.
Were right to denounce the comedian. They need to go and tell Puerto Ricans how much, you know, they do value them. They need to tell Latinos that, but they also need to look at how they're talking about women. This is the time to talk about national security. And this is the time to talk.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
It's time to get out the truth about Eric Hovde. Hovde made his money the old-fashioned way. He inherited it. How can he relate or make decisions for us? Now he's the CEO of a billion-dollar bank in California and a huge landlord. With people like Eric Hovde, the rich pay less, and we pay the price. I'm not a political person. I'm a mom. I would never vote for a person like Eric Hovde.
Paid for by a Better Wisconsin Together Action. ABWT-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Bringing a house of pain.
Backside pressure, down he goes. Inside the 30-yard line.
To a game day near you.
Picked off by Wisconsin, and the Badgers win it.
That's how you create a program. That's how you create a team.
Join us Saturday. The Heartland Trophy is up for grabs in Iowa City. Our coverage begins at 4:30 on your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on 107.7 FM, 1450 AM, WRCE.
You're an organ donor, right? Here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Matt Nair on air.
Darren Von Rudin, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Wisconsin Congressman Derek Van Orden wasn't really concerned about hearing from the farmers after he got done being unhappy with you about an ad you made months ago.
Our members didn't get to tell their stories. And in the end, if you don't agree with each other, at least the conversation can happen. That really didn't happen.
One would think being in Congress would require a slightly thicker skin.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. News from the Center, WRCE. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I discuss independent film Green Bay Style. Caitlin Schuchart from the Green Bay Film Festival joins me in studio, and then we celebrate Henry Winkler's birthday. Someone has to. With comedian Mike Toomey.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. The Todd Alba Show.
Matt Flynn joining us. This is a text off the text line. Quote, I'm dreading that it's a little too late. The last few weeks of polls are extremely bleak.
This is not the time to get wobbly. The polls right now still show her in the lead between 2 to 3 points. She used to be ahead by 5 points. So what?
Charles Franklin at Marquette Law School says polls don't vote. People do. Have a plan. Be a voter, Matt.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.